south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, here's a subject I don't talk about too much. How about gays, homophobia, and machoism in Latin America? Well, I guess I do talk about the macho thing quite a bit. But I do get emails from people now and again asking me to go into further detail about the gay situation in Latin America. Now, in past shows, I've mentioned that there are certain places in Latin America that, just recently anyway, seem to be super tolerant and super gay friendly, just like so many places throughout the world. And to tell the truth, it's been many, many years since I've seen a story in the papers or on the news down here where gays have been tormented or bashed, whatever. Yes, it's true, there's a terrific amount of machoism down here. In fact, it's on steroids. But actual gay bashing or physical violence, no. However, it seems to be much more tolerated on the gringo tourist trail. That would be Costa Rica, Rio de Janeiro, Cancun, Dominican Republic, the big beach resorts, the usual suspects. But here's a twist. Last time I was in Cancun and then I went down south about 40 or 50 kilometers to Playa del Carmen. And remember, those are two of the places that are big U.S. university vacation spots, you know, spring break and all that, where pampered gringo college kids come down and spend their dads and ma's money on drugs, booze, and whatever. Well, about 2 years ago or so, last time I was down in that neck of the woods, the Yucatan, I saw some obviously stylish gay guys walking through a nice, wide-open outdoor mall along the beach, hand in hand, and they were being taunted, whistled at, you know, nothing physical, but still a little crass and disturbing. Guess who was doing the taunting? A bunch of sunburned, California-styled, pompous, first-world rich kids. Well, rich enough so that they can get down to Cancun and thereabouts anyway. It wasn't the locals. It was the immature macho gringos on spring break, showing off and screwing around. Now, I mentioned in the past show, every medium and large city has a kind of a red light district and a district where the transvestite guys kind of hang out, just like cities up in the States. Well, the truth is, and I think I mentioned this on a past show, can't remember now, after 500 plus shows, seems like these days, no one dares mess with those guys or slander them. Except for the odd carload of young, teenage, entitled, rich Latin kids, jacked up on a few beers, yelling stuff out the window as they drive by. Aside from a little of that stuff, people just don't mess with these guys. Why? Because the gays and the transvestites out here that are out of the closet seem to hang together. They're kind of unified. All for one and one for all kind of thing. They all know how tough it really was to come out of the closet way back when. Since 5 or 10 years ago, the macho thing really did prevail, and sometimes they did get beat up. In fact, a couple of decades ago, when I first came down, you would occasionally see in the local newspaper stories about transvestites or gays being beat up enough to end up in the hospital. I believe it was only 2 times in 25 years I read about a gay guy or transvestite getting killed. That was a long, long time ago. And today, you just don't see or hear of those kinds of things, unless, of course, they're not reporting it. But I doubt it. Oh, and again, down here, a transvestite is called a travesti. Easy to remember. Travesti. And like I may have mentioned before, every medium and large Latin city even has its own gay bars. And even all the traditional Latin straight people in that area will say, yeah, you know, there's 2 gay bars down on so-and-so avenida. But they usually don't say, like we might in the States, no big deal, to each his own. They'll usually make a face like it's some kind of mortal sin, and some women will even make the sign of the cross, like, God help us. Remember, Latin America is about 98% Christian, and some very fanatical Christians at that. And you know, it's only been in the last 3 to 5 years that you'll actually see gay couples walking down the street, not trying to hide anything, you know, being themselves, holding hands, all that stuff. In some ways, it's kind of like it was up in the States maybe 30 years ago. That lag time thing again. Latin America is becoming, if not gay-friendly, at least gay-tolerant. Yet there are some cities and towns throughout Latin America that are very gay-friendly. In fact, I understand there are quite a few gay travel agencies up in the States that have a long-running list of gay-friendly places in Latin America. In fact, I understand there is a pretty well-known gay-friendly Latin American travel circuit. For those enlightened gays, I guess, who see how the U.S. is imploding and they want to have their own plan B to get out. Why not? Travel agencies already arrange gay cruises and gay all-inclusive package deals at well-known resorts like Sandals, etc. So, where in Latin America might it not be gay-friendly? Well, it stands to reason that the Latin American small towns out in the boonies would be where the gay population there stays pretty much in the closet, because when you got farmers and guys with cowboy hats toting pistols, the gay thing still is quite a few years from being open like it is in the bigger cities. But note that as far as being assaulted or even killed and shoved in a ditch, that's just not going to happen. Unless you do something very stupid, and that goes for anyone. You can be a clueless idiot whether you're gay or straight. Just remember, when you're down in Latin America, you're a guest, and you should act accordingly. Note, it's those loudmouth, rich kid gringos that come down to Cancun with their daddy's platinum card. They're the ones that give gringos a bad name, specifically on the gringo tourist trail. In fact, almost all the expats I know keep a great distance between themselves and people like that. And that's one of the reasons why so many gringos who start off in tourist areas like Costa Rica end up discouraged and drift away to other adjacent Latin countries. Or just give up, turn tail, and head back to the States. That's also why, in those countries on the tourist trail, when gringos get scammed, gouged, or just get nailed with gringo prices, us long-term gringos say, you know what? They deserve it, and more. Which brings me to another question I get an awful lot from first world gringos. They say, Johnny, you know, I really want to come down to Latin America, but don't you think when the poop hits the ventilator and that economic and currency collapse comes that we all know will eventually get here, don't you think that when the ripples hit Latin America, and they will, the locals just might retaliate against the gringos living in their country? Well, as I've said before, we all know Latin America is protected and buffered simply by the fact that their banks aren't loaded down by derivatives, and they traditionally ask for 10, 20, even 30% down when financing a home. Of course, in the last year or so, that's changed, but there are really no upside-down mortgages here yet. Though, for sure, that's coming. Keep you posted on that. But those are not the only buffers. The very poor segments and bottom end of society, which can make up to 40 to 60% of a Latin American population, are pretty much living off the earth right now. They've got their driveway chickens, gardens, and fruit trees. They don't have cars, so they don't have to buy gas, and most of them use wood to cook. So even though some first world gringos are saying they think there's going to be a backlash of some sort against gringos living in Latin America once everything falls apart in the first world, I beg to differ. And you know, it seems like that kind of talk only comes from gringos living up in the first world. To me, it just seems like another flimsy excuse not to make the move down here. You never hear that from gringos and expats living down here off the gringo tourist trail. We just do not feel those negative undercurrents at all. Here's what I say. Because the gringo wannabe thing is so prevalent in Latin America, and because there are 20, 30, even 40 million illegal aliens up in the States, everybody wants to go there. Not to mention whole economies here in Latin America, especially in Central America, are totally dependent on remises coming from their illegal family members up in the States. Well, it's just impossible for me to believe there's going to be a backlash against gringos living down here. For one thing, it's us gringos who come down here and create jobs. We put in all the franchises. We start IT businesses, we open mom-and-pop joints, we build houses and construct all manner of projects. So we employ tons of builders. Just look at Walmart. It's the biggest employer in all of Latin America. And remember, Latin America has got over 500 million people. Without gringos coming down and setting that stuff up, there'd be no Walmart, Costco, Office Depot, Starbucks, or McDonald's, or Sears, or Ace Hardware. That means millions and millions of Latins would still be working at those coffee, pineapple, and sugar plantations. Now, admittedly, as for gringo franchises that have landed here, to health-conscious gringos, most of those places generally suck, or worse. It's a bad trend and a bad gringo legacy, but Latins love that crap. And believe it or not, it's that low-end segment of the Latin society, that 40 to 60%, mostly agricultural workers and their kids. They actually believe it's a huge step up, both economically and socially, to get a job at McDonald's, Wendy's, Walmart, whatever, for $300 a month, instead of working on the farm or selling tortillas on the street. So I ask you, what kind of backlash are you going to get from the public when everything gringo is loved and admired down here? Now, of course, I'm not talking about places that are well on the gringo tourist trail like Panama and Costa Rica, where gringos get gouged all the time and they get nailed for gringo prices left and right. So yes, in those places, we have outstayed our welcome and the people just don't like us much anymore. We kind of bulldozed our way in and stamped out their culture. Yeah, they asked for it. They even begged for it, as are all the other Latin American countries. They all want to be like Costa Rica, right? Oh, and by the way, Latins never heard that old cliche, be careful what you ask for. Yes, I've inquired and nope, they've never heard of it. Even so, many, many gringos on the tourist trail say they love it there. Why? Well, because no matter how much they get gouged or nailed for gringo prices, they still claim it's cheaper living there than it is up in Cleveland. And the weather compared to Cleveland? No contest. And you know, that's why so many fresh gringo expats are such bad bargainers. They don't come from a haggling society. They pay the sticker price. Except, of course, if they're at a rummage sale or they're buying a car or a house. Then you can go back and forth. But that's about it. In the States, about 98% of the time, you pay what the vendor says the price is, and that's it. However, down here in Latin America, the only time prices are absolutely fixed is when you're dining out or shopping at a first world franchise. You can't negotiate with Sears or Ronald McDonald. Now, there are exceptions to the rule that locals will always haggle with you. For example, restaurants, you know, the menu says what you gotta pay and you gotta pay it, even mom and pop restaurants. And you can't very well barter at a gas station or a bakery for that matter. However, it's easy to barter at locally owned hotels and bed and breakfasts. And at those gigantic food markets, bartering is the norm. Just try doing that in an organic food market up in the States. When the sign says $4 a pint for organic strawberries, you're going to try to knock them down to 3.5? I don't think so. But back to that topic of possible Latin retaliation against gringos. Last time I was asked that question, I heard it from a newly arrived older expat gringo couple, the usual suspects. They were your poster child AARP couple looking for pensionado status in some Latin American country. Their goal? The hope to live like first world people on 2 social security checks down in Latin America. More than feasible, by the way. Now, you see quite a few older couples like that on the gringo tourist trail, Ecuador, Panama, Costa Rica. And you can generally spot them a mile away. They're all over the airports there. The woman with a blue or pink-tinged, lacquered beehive hairdo, her husband with the mismatched plaid shorts and Hawaiian shirt, white socks and Jesus sandals. You come down to certain airports in Latin America and you see quite a few cloned couples like that. That's when you know the AARP and International Living Marketing machines are running at full speed. Now, in a way, you really can't blame the usual suspects like that for asking that question. When the blowout comes, are we going to suffer? Are Latins gonna take it out on us? Do we have to put our autographed Dick Cheney pacemakers on high alert when the Latin mobs and sweaty masses beat on our doors? Because gringos brought the system down and we're close at hand? Better yet, will the Latins even take to the streets? And you know, when I say I can't blame these older gray-haired folks for thinking that way, they are vulnerable. At 60, 70, 80 years old, the average American is taking, what is it? 8 pills a day and is obese, diabetic, or has kidney problems, right? Now, of course, no one can predict the future, but let me try to assure you by saying Latin America is actually the place you want to be when the system implodes. I mean, down here, people are not going to run out of food and water, and they don't have to worry about heating and air conditioning, so the whole world will be affected, but in Latin America, you got quite a nice cushion and buffer. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah, talking about gays in Latin America. Well, how about this one? Because I'm naturally curious and I like to ask questions other people won't, which is why back in my junior high and high school days back in the States, I made friends with the tough guys because otherwise I would have gotten my ass kicked all the time. In fact, in junior high, I even gave bass guitar lessons to a big, strong, thick-headed, strapping lug. He was held back twice in 9th grade. Now, because he was talentless and wanted to be in my little rock band, he acted as my personal shield. Now, you might think that was pretty smart of me, but Actually, in the end, it wasn't, because he was such a bad bass player. In fact, tone deaf. Eventually, I had to kick him out, and I think he still wants to clobber me. Anyway, being the curious, questioning guy that I am, I often find myself at a party or in an office or in a situation where I'm mingling with a college-educated Latin person or two or three. And one thing you're going to find out when that happens to you is that college-educated Latins will always try to impress a gringo. Yep, they'll toss out superficial references to all things gringo, trying to show us that they're more than a cut above the sweaty masses that ride those chicken buses. They're out to prove that they're cosmopolitan and gringoized. When that happens to me, I take it with a straight face, but inside I'm cringing. It's so predictable. You can spot it in a second. Hey, Johnny, so you're from Chicago. What about those Cubs? Michael Jordan, the Packers, Hillary, Trump, Obama, Kim Kardashian's butt. Is it real or Memorex? Yep, they want me to know they're tuned in to all those earth-shattering gringo subjects. And since I know practically nothing about sports and don't care to, I always tell them that, which shocks the hell out of them because they're all such rabid soccer fans and sports fans in general. When I tell them that, they look at me as if a bird just shit on my head. And then I say, I have this big vacancy in my brain where I've stored all this useless trivia instead of sports. Comes in handy. So when they're droning on and blathering about that proposed trip with Cousin Julio to Miami, when they're done with that spiel and think I'm duly impressed, if I'm not in a great mood and I just want to bring that conversation to a halt, I'll ask one question. I'll say, you're an educated guy. Tell me, what was the last book you read? Oh, and by the way, it's almost always Latin male university students or graduates that try to impress gringos. The females are a bit more reserved and a bit more quiet, at least around gringos. So generally that book question will stop 99% of them in their tracks. Come to think of it, it would probably stop 95% of first world gringos in their tracks too. Anyway, just recently I was sitting around with expat Eddie and there were a few Latin college graduates around, and that subject of machoism and gays and homophobia did come up. Wait a minute, is machoism a word? Well, it is now. Oh, and by the way, sometimes you'll be with a so-called educated university Latin graduate, and he or she will actually apologize for the macho state of Latin America, only to qualify that statement and pat themselves on the back by saying that he or she and other educated Latins have moved on and are much more enlightened now, following the example of enlightened gringos up north, and that it's just the lower and middle class Latins that are afflicted with a severe case of machoism. Now, really, you can learn an awful lot by sitting around with a bunch of college-educated Latins, especially the ones that are trying to bond with and impress you. And one of the first things you learn is that even though they've graduated from a university, they are in no way broad-minded creative thinkers. Well, not that so many first-world college kids are either, but down here in Latin America, since about 90% of university graduates graduate from those socialistic public universities that are nearly free and... Remember, those are the buildings with the broken windows, the plumbing that doesn't work, and the urine-scented hallways. A truly excellent learning environment, don't you think? Not to mention, to get a teaching job at one of those big public universities, you have to be connected. You either have to have helped some idiot politician out in his campaign, or be the politician's numbnut brother-in-law. That's how it goes. It truly is a revolving door of corrupt mental midgets. So, in the end, only about 5% of Latin university graduates attend one of those much, much better private universities. And since in Latin America only about 2% of the adult population actually has a college degree, as opposed to about 40% in the States. So, down here, it's a huge accomplishment to get a degree. And within that 2%, about 90 to 95% of those went to those socialistic crap-ass memorization mills. So, obviously then, when you're at a get-together or at a party, whatever, and you're sitting down with a college graduate, 90 to 95% of the time, he will be a public university graduate. Ew. However, down here in the minds of Latins, it doesn't matter. Having that diploma really kicks you up on the class and status ladder. Oh, and by the way, don't ever try to explain to a Latin American university graduate that 80 to 90% of them will never get a job in their chosen career because they pick useless zero-demand degrees like business administration, communications, journalism, sociology, psychology, same drill as up in the States. So again, don't try to pop anyone's ego bubble. They won't get it. They'll think you're nuts. Now, I know I must sound like a pretentious jerk here, but I'm just telling it like it is. Isn't that what I'm here for? Oh, and by the way, the worst thing you could possibly do is say something like that in front of a mom or a dad or a grandparent whose kid has either graduated or is in university right now taking up one of those totally useless degrees. If you want to make yourself persona non grata on that family, tell them that their kid with a psychology degree has wasted 4 years of his or her life. Because you see, down here, with that lag time so well entrenched, parents are so ridiculously proud of their kids that go to college that if you get them going on the subject, that's all they're going to talk about. And that's mostly because a kid in college, at one of those crappy state universities especially, is likely to be the very first kid in the whole family who ever went to university and graduated. Almost exactly how it was in the 1960s and 70s in the U.S. Parents were ridiculously proud of their kids in college because that was often the first generation that ever had a chance to matriculate. Now, remember I said before, you can learn an awful lot by sitting down with a college kid or a university graduate. And the more you talk to them, the more you learn how limited their educations really are. And you'll probably pick up on the giant sociological and educational gap and distance between Latins and gringos. Now, over the years, expat Eddie and I have come to the conclusion that those very incomplete educations that Latins get at the public university is part and parcel of the reasons why Latins, no matter how they try, just don't seem to get our gringo sense of humor. Now, bear with me a little bit on that and I'll prove the point. So there we were, expat Eddie and I sitting with three or four graduates from one of those stinking socialistic public universities. And of course, since we're off the gringo trail and they almost never get to see or talk to a gringo, eventually they started in with the usual thing. Surprise, surprise. Gringo sports. With Hillary and Trump and Kardashian's butt thrown in for good measure. That's when one of the guys trumped in, no pun there, with the usual Latin Macho Society apologetics. Confirming there is a Latin macho problem, but within the upper classes and the educated, people like he and his buddies and his college mates were enlightened. He explained that within his societal class, women were being treated better, gays weren't getting bashed, etc. And that's when he said this. You know, we've come a long way in accepting gays here in Latin America. It kind of proves the macho society is on its way out. Then he looked at both of us and he said, got a question for you guys. It seems like the gay thing's just not an issue anymore in the States. We watch your television programs, etc., and there's gays on all the sitcoms and TV shows, the reality shows, etc. Except for the gay marriage thing, it's not much of an issue. Then, he said, there must have been a time when everyone up in the States realized that the gays were now kind of totally accepted. And for us, down here in Latin America, it's been just in the last maybe 5 years. When was that defining moment up in the States? Then, expat Eddie looked at him and said, well, if you ask me, it happened right before Christmas time in 1961. Then Eddie turned to me and winked and he said, that was when Mattel gave Barbie a boyfriend named Ken. Now, I rarely go into a laughing jag, but I had to suppress that one. However, by now there was a group of college-educated Latins around us, maybe seven or eight, and none of them got the joke. None of them laughed. They just didn't get it. And yes, they've had Ken dolls down here for a long, long time, but they just didn't make the connection. So what does that tell you? Then afterwards, as boys of all ages will do, they started telling jokes in Spanish. In fact, little English was spoken that day. Why? Though even in public universities, they take English classes. They don't take them from native English speakers, and their English is terrible. Fact is, almost all of the Latins that speak pretty good English learn it in private helicopter schools or private universities. That 5% I was talking about. Again, we're talking off the gringo tourist trail. So anyway, as boys will do when they're gathered around for a while, somebody starts cracking jokes. And of course, they're cracking jokes in Spanish. Meanwhile, Eddie and I were just rolling our eyes because the jokes were so infantile and lame. I mean, we're with 20-something college graduates, and they're telling the equivalent of frickin' knock-knock jokes. So then as the joke-telling went around, it became Eddie's turn. Okay, here come the gringo jokes. And Eddie is a great joke-teller. He tells this one in Spanish. He says, "One day, a long, long time ago, up in heaven, God and the Archangel Michael were having a conversation. And God says, you know, we got to fill this place. I think I'm going to create a couple of entities and see how it turns out." So he created two of them and stuck them down on earth. He called them humans. And from heaven, watched them play around for a while, and it was very amusing. Then God said, you know, I want more of those. So poof, a vagina and a penis appeared, and he handed them to Michael and said, "Now take this penis and attach it to the tall, stupid one." Guess what? Nobody laughed. Well, I did. So flash forward about 3 hours. Same party, only bigger. It's nighttime. There's a big barbecue going outside in the backyard. And Eddie walks over to me and says, "Johnny, you're not going to believe this. One of those Latin college kids has more on the ball than I thought." I said, "What?" He said, "I was just in the kitchen and I overheard that kid telling my joke." I said, "Yeah, so what?" He said, "Well, get this. The joke went as planned up to the point where God said, 'Here, Michael, take this penis and vagina.' The kid changed the ending. In his version, God said, 'Here, take this vagina and put it on the short, stupid one.' Then Eddie laughed and said, 'Johnny, I'm going to get that kid's name and email. I think I'll hire him. The kid's going places." Then Eddie said, "But that's not all. No one laughed when I told it, but in the kitchen, everyone cracked up. That so-called enlightened Latin kid is playing the macho sexist thing for all it's worth. But then again, anything for a laugh, huh?" And you know, I always remember what Rodney Dangerfield once said to me. I really did have dinner with him once. He said, "The best jokes in the world always offend somebody. That's why nobody laughs at knock-knock jokes." Okay, as we get to the end of the program now, don't forget to sign up for my January 2016 Latin Insider Seminar. Again, it'll be in and around Guatemala, Central America. Sign up by November 1st and get a $500 per person early bird discount. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's seminar link at the top of the page for full details. Or send me an email at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. You won't want to miss this one. I won't be doing these seminars forever. There's just way too many tipping points. Something's got to give. And when that happens, you better have that plan B in place. So come on down.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me, just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!